I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and this is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, a belief in immaculate conception, overcoming death with resurrection, divine miracles of creation. Modern thinkers complain these tenets suffer from a lack of evidence. Faith is a great evil, they say, that leads gullible human beings to open their minds so much their brains fall out. I respectfully disagree. Faith has been shown in studies to mitigate symptoms of depression. Spiritual beliefs can help us to deal with loss, disease, and death, and even aid recovery. We also know that it helps deal with addictions. Great things have been accomplished with perseverance in the face of impossible odds, even at the risk of loss of life. And what is that, if not an act of faith? So dismissing conviction in something divine simply because there's no scientific proof seems unintelligent to me. And anyway, if we just look around us at the intricate design of nature, the complex way natural processes mesh together perfectly, we really have to be slightly moronic to rule out divinity. The certainty of the divine, today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. Our radio program is streaming on the Stop Radio Network, which gets its name from the Stop the Destruction of the World Association, founded in Paris in 1992 by Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco, who is well known to any who listen to our programs. The Stop organization is interesting because it has the purpose of trying to increase consciousness on the planet of the causes of our destruction of nature and our own human species. And those causes lie deeper than the usually fingered suspects of government corruption, corporate malfeasance, capitalist greed. The Stop Association redirects some of those pointed fingers back inside at the psychological state of the human being. Our psychopathology, full of unresolved issues like megalomania, inverted values, headstrong inverted willfulness, envy, selfishness, and narcissism, leads us to create inhuman economies, inadequate education systems, and profits above all media that make our lives a hell on earth, literally. As my mentor Norberto Kepi writes in his seminal book about the pathology of power, Liberation of the People, is there hunger in the world? Are there abandoned children? Is there injustice, aggression, robbery? Then every one of us is guilty because we've helped to build and preserve a society that is inhuman. And that is a point well taken. And all of this consciousness is what underpins our work on this program. But as we've been exploring in our last couple of programs, Kepi is broadening the perspective now to include the spiritual aspect of our problem. Well, he's always done that, actually. He's just putting more focus on it at the moment. So now we're considering psychosocial spiritual pathology in seeking to understand ourselves and our human predicament. We are all to blame, he now asserts, because we admire the devil and permit him to act at will. No doubt that will be tough to swallow to those modern thinkers I alluded to at the beginning of the program, but honestly, it explains so much. There is a mostly unconscious collusion with evil going on that is not being noticed. We can see it in an economic system that measures development indexes by an increase in destructive technologies, a medical system that thrusts lucrative drugs and surgery into us as the sole option, a scientific worldview that considers only what we can measure through instruments as worthy of being called reality. Perhaps this demonic influence is well illustrated in the recent news about the modern scientific hero Einstein, whose letter, written to philosopher Erich Gutkind in the 1930s, was just auctioned off for about $3 million. That letter declared Einstein's view about all things religious as primitive superstition, belief in the word of God as an example of human weakness. And this limited view is evident everywhere in modern physics, ignorantly following the inspiration and mentality of Lucifer. Yes, the real Lucifer. Well, this is what Kepi is exploring in his work and what we're developing in our current series of Thinking with Somebody Else's Head programs. So let's get into it a bit more. The certainty of the divine. Today, when Thinking with Somebody Else's Head returns in just a moment.
We can tell how unbalanced a person is by how much they idealize. Norberto Kepi.
Disinverting the human being and society. This is the Stop Radio Network.
In the United States, there is a hidden government.
In 1985, Norberto Kepi published an explosive analysis of the pathology of power.
The new world order that they are trying to implant goes totally against ethical principles.
28 years later, Liberation of the People is still the most relevant book available that exposes our inverted socioeconomic structure and who's responsible for it.
They are like sharks and you are like fishes in an ocean.
The people's reaction to Kepi's book was enthusiastic. The powerful hated it.
They were able to do a master cover-up.
Norberto Kepi's book was buried, and the warning went out to the media.
You are never, ever to mention the work of Norberto Kepi.
Now, Norberto Kepi's timely book is available again. For your free download of Norberto Kepi's Liberation of the People, go to liberationofthepeople.org.
Hi, my name is Thorne, and I love listening to the Stop Radio Network. It helps me to start off my day in a really good mode.
The most relevant conversations in the world today are on the Stop Radio Network.
Thinking with somebody else's head on the Stop Radio Network, we're deep into our very interesting series now with Claudia Bernhard-Pacheco on Dr. Kepi's revolutionary, and I want to call it that, book, Psychotherapy and Exorcism. I choose that word specifically because his work in this book is maybe for the first time, certainly in my lifetime, awakening the conversation about the spiritual influence in our day-to-day lives. I never thought about that when I was growing up. It was not part of my education. And so here is this book making us, forcing us to consider this. So we've done a couple of programs now. We're into our third program on this subject and going very slowly through the principles of Dr. Kepi's idea of exorcism through consciousness, much different from what we see in the movies. And but Claudia, I had a very interesting question from one of my students when I was talking about this the other day. She said, "But Richard, how can you explain Dr. Kepi's concepts to someone who doesn't believe in God?" And this may be something that's relevant for many people who are listening, who may be skeptical, cynical about this, maybe have a confused view of religion and God, these kind of things. So I thought that would be a nice question to put to you. I explained to her that if somebody lives their life ethically, tries to be good, then they're living their life based on some belief, belief in something, belief in goodness. So that could be actually more indicative of someone who believes in God than someone who says they believe in God, goes to church every day, and is not honest or something.
A person who does not believe in God is already like a manifestation or a proof of what we are saying, we are speaking here. It's a total demonic action, because it's impossible not to believe in God. God is, we are in God. Creation is totally immersed in God's energy, is God's energy, the result of God's energy. So the presence of God in our lives is blatant. It's so obvious. Like notions of good and evil are so obvious that if a person says he denies the knowledge of the existence of God, it's not that he does not know about God, but he knows and denies it. So this is a first or a very important manifestation of a possession or a kind of obsession in human mind, in a human mind.
Yeah, you need a big effort to deny what is so obvious.
So it's not a matter of wanting to believe or not, but it's a matter of why some so-called atheists or denying the existence of God. And this is the basis of God's discoveries. When he started to build his own method and theory.
Dr. Kepi's discoveries. You said God's discoveries.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's okay.
We can say that these discoveries, the psychoanalytical discoveries that Kepi brought, it's a manifestation of God in science. It's God's manifestation. So it's a kind of God's discovery or discovering God. I don't know.
Revelation.
Revelation, yes. But when Kepi started to built his own theory and method, what did he discover? That the basis of all illnesses was what he called theomania. And at that time, he did not yet arrive to this scientific view on demonology. But he already saw through psychiatry, psychoanalysis, that the sickest person is so arrogant, so delirious, in being the owner of the truth, the creator of his own reality, that it was like beyond any reasonable idea or
self-confidence.
It's way beyond.
Yeah.
This selfishness or self confidence.
Yes, this overly self-confident, right?
Which is taking over humanity. Mostly in the 20th century and on, this is a manifestation of mental sickness.
Yeah, Dr. Kepi said recently that too much belief in yourself is a form of possession. Right? You to believe
lately
too much.
He is speaking about that.
Yeah.
30 years ago, 40 years ago, he would say believing too much in oneself or being too much self-assured. It's a form of mental sickness, you know?
Yeah.
And it is. So he does not differ between mental sickness and possession.
Yeah.
For him now, it's the same, all the same.
Yeah.
There is no difference. So speaking about demonology to people who do not believe in God, so this is an obstacle, because if they are denying the obvious, it's already a demonic attitude.
I've tried to understand what this is, because I come from a country that I think has a lot of resistance to this idea, and of sort of an all-knowing, all-seeing God. And one of the arguments I found, somebody was arguing about why he didn't believe in God, was he said, "I don't like being watched all the time." And I thought, he didn't say it in that way. I'm making a kind of a joke. It was a sort of rational observation. But I thought, well, there it is. We don't want to be forced to do what's good. So if we want to not believe in God, it's because we want the freedom to do whatever we want.
But here, Richard.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Here we have another aspect.
Yeah.
Another perspective.
Yeah.
And this is very beautiful when we work with integral psychoanalysis, Kepian analysis, because when a person comes with an idea like this, let's take these two examples. First, the first example, and then the second example. Remind me, please.
Right. So
how can I speak about the devil people who don't accept God
or are
atheists?
These concepts to people who don't believe in God, yes.
So let's start then talking. To this person, we would not talk through a dogmatic point of view or theoretical point of view. We would go like an induction method.
An inductive method.
Inductive method. So we would ask her, what do you associate God with? What do you think she would say?
She would say everything, all-knowing, all-powerful, the right way.
A force.
a force, maybe.
Universe,
yes,
a force,
may
a
might
being.
Say a being, or certainly a yeah. consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are saying that you do not believe in the force and the power and the reality of everything that is good, beautiful, and truthful. So you deny the reality of goodness, beauty, and truth.
Which is psychotic, too.
Which is psychotic. So how can you live without believing in truth, goodness, and beauty?
Yeah.
You don't live without
no,
this,
nobody does.
This belief, this faith. In everyday life, we need the faith to believe in practical good things, like breathing a good air, like drinking a good water, like walking to your office to work. This is something that you can trust, or it's valid.
Yeah.
It's a good in
that
your
a
life.
The piano's not going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah, yeah. So the sun will rise today and tomorrow and the day after, and it go down, and the night will come, and I will sleep. All this real, the reality, good, beautiful, and truthful, the divine creation, it's so obvious. And that we do not create anything. Human beings do not create anything. We just mimic God sometimes.
Yeah.
But we do not create. We don't have this power.
Sure.
So we go like through another path. We go directly to the inner life of that subject or that individual.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, yeah. And what do you associate the devil with? Give spontaneous thoughts. The person would never say total goodness, beauty, and truth, of
no,
course.
No.
What a devil symbolizes?
Yeah.
Evil.
Suffering. The opposite of everything.
Death.
Good.
Pain.
Yeah.
Suffering.
Yeah.
So.
Torture. You know, it's all horrible things.
So, denying the existence of the devil is denying the existence of these aspects in life and within us, too.
Yeah.
That we can be evil many times, and
yeah.
we are evil many yeah. times.
Yeah, I mean, nobody starts a relationship with the idea that the person is going to betray them or tell a lie.
Sure.
Everybody.
You need to be able to have, like, to be...
Faith somehow.
Yeah, to trust.
Yeah.
Trust is the basis of life.
Yes.
Trust in loyalty.
So this
injustice,
is...
Injustice, loyalty.
It's a beautiful answer. And then
the second one.
Yeah, right. I don't like somebody watching me all the time.
Yeah.
He referred to it as a
big watcher.
A big watcher, and that he's a dictator that you can never vote him out of power.
Yes. So he's totally right. But the only thing is that he's inverted. He's seeing in God the devil, and in the devil God. So who's the watcher? Who's commanding his life all the time.
Hmm.
So he is saying something that he feels uncomfortable. And it's true. But he allows this to happen all the time, blaming God. So this is a very practical example of inversion. Seeing, I think this is the biggest inversion of all.
Maybe.
Seeing in God the devil's
yeah.
qualities.
Yeah, like
and
that.
In the devil, God's qualities.
Right. Yeah.
So total
freedom right, yeah.
and well-being, you know, and yeah. God restrictive.
Yeah.
Imagine, God is totally mercy. It's
yeah.
He leaves us, like he let us to be totally free.
Yeah.
He just let us free. He never, like, interferes,
yeah.
like, prohibiting us to do anything. He let us even be evil. He even allows us to be evil.
Yeah.
It's our in our disfavor. But he let us free. He wants all good to us.
And it's exactly.
But if we want to say no to him, he will accept.
Yeah,
but the devil, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He is a dictator. He's after you all the time, watching you, ready to take you over.
Accusing,
blaming, persecuting. And all this watcher attitude that people see in God, it's not God.
It's so great. You just explained it so well. It's lovely.
So in science, we need to go to have an
inductive
method using the deductive theory.
So let's take
and
a little
principles.
Break. We're take a little break here, and we'll come back. I want to move into the second part of now your principles of exorcism through consciousness. We're with Claudia Bernhard Pacheco today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. We're back in just a moment.
You're listening to the most relevant conversations on the planet about how to stop destroying ourselves and the world. This is the Stop Radio Network.
In 2004, in a small countryside village in Brazil, the Stop the Destruction of the World Association initiated a remarkable project.
Cambuquira is the place we choose to organize our living experiences in analytical trilogy.
The human being and society are dependent on one another. It does no good to try to correct the individual while allowing the social sphere to remain the same.
Like a new model of socio-economic, artistic, educational, spiritual living.
Our Cambuquira project is a model of a society that nurtures the human spirit.
It's a small place. It's not far from São Paulo. We travel through very beautiful mountains. And there we have our hotel, the largest hotel in this town.
Welcome to the Grand Trilogy Hotel.
And when they go there, they have natural organic food, natural organic milk, natural organic cheese and products, very good meat, but we also have possibilities for the vegetarians. And there we have our hotel where we apply the concepts of this new world, this new society, a better life to live.
Classes, businesses, social projects, a better society brought to life.
We have conference rooms, we have a theater, we have musical presentations, we have artists from Brazil and from all over the world coming there.
Analytical Trilogy has proposals to transform all areas of human activity, leading to the society of the future.
There we will have people immersed, participating and living in a society where the pathology of power is controlled. Because the pathology of power is more than ever impeding people to survive.
Sociotherapy, using the world's most advanced science.
The solutions will never come from the powerful. They are coming from the people, from those who are more capable, like artists, like scientists, like educators. So that's what we are doing here, creating mechanisms to live a happier life.
To find out more about Analytical Trilogy and our Cambuquira Social Project, go to our website at www.stop.org.br.
You're listening to the Stop Radio Network from São Paulo, Brazil. Our programs are based on the landmark science of Dr. Norberto Kepi, and there are many exciting applications of his work occurring in Brazil and numerous other locations around the world. This includes language classes, translation services, psychology sessions by phone or Skype, and the new energy solutions proposed by the Kepi Motor. Kepi's expansive science is outlined in his many books and TV programs, all available through our site at stop.org.br. Now, back to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network.
The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. We're on the Stop Radio Network. This is the third in our series now. I don't know how many we're going to do, but I'm hoping Claudia will have the energy to continue for a while, because it's really great to be in our studio again, working. I enjoy a lot to produce our programs.
It's great to meet you,
oh,
Richard.
Boy. Well, if it's good for you, then I'm very happy about that. And we have been trying to get a handle on a couple of principal ideas before we go too far into the principles of Kepi's exorcism. And the first one, I think, is that Kepi says that man's first mistake comes when he denies that the planet is dominated by demons, not by God, but by demons. And we talked a little bit about that at the end of the last program. Claudia, you mentioned
maybe
we should
go back a little bit
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I think so, too. You mentioned that what does it mean to follow demons? You were talking about that. And it's like nobody is consciously going to say, I believe in murder and torture and bullying. Nobody believes that consciously. So somehow this sort of...
During the timeline, this major issue was being covered up. Like, we should uncover now this major subject, because it has been causing such a disaster in the whole humanity and the planet.
The fact that demons are operating and we don't see it. You
yes.
Mean,
yeah,
this is
yes.
what's been covered up.
Covered up.
Even by the church, I think.
Even by the church. They used to call this as just a symbol.
Yeah.
It's inside man.
Yeah.
So we lose a lot of strength and protection and defenses we could have if we don't see the danger of the enemy wanting to come in, like to dominate our lives and dominate society in such a way, Richard, that yesterday I have a client. She's a very nice woman. And lately she retired to be able to help drug addicts. And
valuable work.
Valuable work. But philosophically and somehow theologically, she doesn't have sufficient structure and notion of these principles.
So she has a good heart,
yes,
but she doesn't.
But
have
she get involved because she doesn't. She let herself go by these demonic concepts, and she was saying yesterday that she saw two situations in this shelter that she went to help.
For drug addicts, alcoholics.
One was a teenager, and another one was a lady, a middle-aged lady. Both of them were in a very sad situation, critical situation. The first one, she said, I really understood the influence of the devil in that girl because her eyes were so evil and so filled with hatred that it was impossible not to say that this is a demonic person with so much hatred. But the lady, she said, she had such a good look in her eyes, and she has so much goodness, but she was like caught in this addiction, substance abuse.
A victim somehow.
Yes. And she said, so how come then? How do you explain this? should I say that this person is possessed, is demonized, that we should blame her? She has so much goodness in her eyes. And I was a kind of explaining to her, because she was trying to bring an idea, how come God allows this to happen?
Exactly what
how come
say.
God led a good person to suffer like this?
Yeah.
And this is very tricky, very malicious, because people blame God for all the wrong choices humanity has been making, and not the devil. So she blamed God and not the devil. God gave and gives us all conditions and all good to us. But we have been choosing the devil to govern our paradise. So I told her, you know, when you elect a dictator, it's elected by the people. We had the problem in Brazil of a very, very negative government. It was elected by the people. Democracy.
A large proportion of the people.
Large portion of the people.
Yeah.
So the people who did not want this president or this government had to suffer under his domain.
His and her domain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the choice the majority did. So we could compare something like this on the planet. God built a paradise. We were in a paradise. We are in a paradise. But the majority is still voting or choosing demons and Lucifer to be the government.
Okay, so how do we do that?
And do you see how people can suffer in a wrong government?
Oh boy.
All the injustice, all of this evil going around society.
Corruption everywhere.
It's not if a person is good, but he or she had to submit herself to suffering, social economic suffering. And then the lady said, oh, yes. So, and there is another thing, because she was so good in her look, in her goodness, that even though she was poor, she was trying to get away this addiction, to get rid of the addiction, but she looked well, somehow spiritually, she was okay. So she was so good that she felt good. She didn't have this revolt, this anger, this suffering of this adolescent, the first case. And then she came and said, yeah, now I recognize that I have so much good in my life. I have all material things. I have culture. I had the opportunity to. I have everything a person could have. And I don't have this well-being that this lady has, even in her circumstances. So you see that you go beyond material restrictions and you enter a realm of goodness, beauty, and truth, which is in our inner lives, which is transcendental, which is spiritual, and dictates if we are happy or unhappy.
Was she saying then that this older woman who has a problem with drug abuse is actually
good in her heart?
Good in her heart.
Good in her heart, and she was like a victim.
Habit.
She had she was caught by this, and she's trying to get rid of this, but she has such a good heart that she can be like good and feel like goodness and be, if you can say, good. Feel good inside her problems, even though she has her problems. So she's in a better situation, we may say. We will not say that she deserves what she has. She doesn't. But we are, unfortunately, in a planet that the majority is choosing this government, which is evil government, which is the devil. And the devil governs through presidents and governments and powerful people
laws.
And wrong laws and legislators.
Economy. Education.
Everything. He is the ruler. He's the ruler because people are choosing. So what Cap is bringing?
Yeah.
Come on, people. Wake up. We are choosing. If we were not choosing this evil, the evil would not be able to do what it's doing.
Could we talk about how we make those choices? Because that's not something that we're sort of sitting down and making a pact, a blood pact with Lucifer. We're making those decisions in a very subtle way, right? Even if you look at our economy, the economic system is based, any kind of growth is based on environmental destruction. Anything that leads to growth leads to destruction. So in some way, I see that in that sort of social sense, that we are choosing technology that's destructive. We're choosing...
But you are not choosing, Richard.
Yeah.
Can you have a choice between a cell phone that destroys your brain and a good technology?
Yeah.
Can you do this?
No.
We cannot.
You can't live
with
that. We are
caught.
A crazy cell phone.
We should change all the perception because people, they choose, they don't have choices in many instances. We cannot be without using a cell phone presently.
Yeah.
And it destroys our brain.
Yeah.
This is scientific.
Yeah.
So consciousness must come must grow in society that we should very, very, quickly, this is an urgent call. We should stop letting the powerful institutions, the powerful people, like upside-down people, evil people, destroying the planet.
Yeah.
So we know that toxics applied in food, like
pesticides, chemical fertilizers,
are poison.
Yeah.
They poison.
They go to the water.
But
how
can we cope with this? Because if you go to a supermarket, the majority of goods you can buy are all poisoned.
Yeah.
And you drink and you eat poison,
Hormones in the meat.
Hormones. So the people in power, they are consciously doing this for profit. So they are not mistaken. The big mistake they do is that one day or another, they will pay for what they are doing. If they are not already paying, because they are going against their own essence. We have a divine essence.
Yeah.
We have a good, beautiful, and truthful structure. If we work against this good essence, we are destroying and killing ourselves.
This is
little by little.
This is the demons in action.
These are the demons in action
because
they use people in power and they deceive. You know this Faust story?
Faust, sure.
Yeah.
Goethe's story of Faust.
Yeah. So this is true.
He made the bargain, Faustian bargain.
This is true because, you know, people do this choice, but they don't know what they are like. They are not conscious of the spiritual implication.
Yes.
Their consciousness is like
clouded.
Clouded.
Yeah.
It's diminished.
Yeah.
It's covered up. It's like a hypnotic state.
Dr. Kepi talks about this. He said this happens, this domination by demons, happens with the approval of human beings, of course, who have chosen Lucifer and thus abandoned divine paternity, is how he describes it. But I was thinking of it in this, like you're talking about it now, as we're sort of like, in a way, sort of victimized by this. It's not like so obvious, we're clouded. There was a young woman singer, Claudia, who was a really talented young singer. I don't want to mention her name, but she said that when she wanted to be famous, she made a pact with the devil. She said it, she was a religious person. She had a religious background. And she said this in a joking way. But it's like that. It's like, okay, well, then this is what I have to do to be successful in this earthly way, to have money and power and prestige. So I'll start to exploit my body, and I'll start to do that to become famous. This is the Faustian deal.
She's inverted. She's upside down because she's seeing all the good that she can possibly have coming from the devil.
Yes.
And the devil is a usurper.
Usurper.
Usurper from the goods of God. Everything she has of good came from God and comes from God.
Yes.
It's not the devil who's giving to her.
Yeah.
And you know what? The big mistake, as Kepi puts, people generally think as Lucifer being intelligent, clever, powerful, capable, even beautiful or attractive or magnetic. But it's everything the opposite. He is a mentally sick angel.
Yeah.
He's a liar. And if we could see him, really, in front of us, we would be scared of death.
I was just watching an old TV program that you and Dr. Kepi produced where you guys asked me to speak about me and other people, about our view of religion. You know what I was talking about? I'd forgotten about this many years ago, 16 years ago. I remembered Jesus' example. Because Jesus showed us he was tempted.
Yeah.
And Lucifer said to him, all this could be yours.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Remember that?
It's already his. It was Jesus.
And Jesus said, this is not yours. We need to remember that example.
When we're
like tempted by these.
Yes. And what happens then? The person starts getting away from God's energy, and all these gifts that God can give to us, we get apart from them.
Yeah.
We get apart from them. So it's not the chastisement; it's getting away from goodness.
And
you
said we lose our intelligence when that happens. So we lose our perception.
Yes, we get like dumb.
Numbed.
Yes, yeah. This is the good expression.
And anesthetized, we don't see anyone.
Yes.
Anesthetized may be a polite way of saying stupid, right? We become rather mediocre, even pathetic, when we follow these demonic temptations. As Kepi says in his wonderful book we're discussing now, Psychotherapy and Exorcism, those who obey demons lose their feelings of love and intelligence, and even their being. Because how can we really exist if we follow the one who denies existence? That is one of the central points in Kepi's recent work.
That's our program for this time. The program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, streaming on the Stop Radio Network. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Until next time.
We think consciousness, the perception of problems, is dangerous. Norberto Cappi.
Disinverting the human being and society. This is the Stop Radio Network.
Since the beginning of all civilizations, they had always manifested an enormous interest and knowledge about the spiritual life and spiritual beings.
It's a world of ancient wisdom that modern science has eliminated.
The arising philosophy of positivism preferred to base science on material happenings.
So, only what you can see and touch and feel is real.
Now, spirituality is being put back into science.
Imagine what would happen if people start considering this as a real thing. Not only as a religious thing, but also a real scientific thing. Imagine what would happen.
Norberto Kepi's Universe of the Spirits, a scientific analysis, available in the bookstore at stop.org.br.
You're listening to the most relevant conversations on the planet about how to stop destroying ourselves and the world. This is the Stop Radio Network.